Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
We're brothers from New Hampshire. We're venture capitalists.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sick of that. Let's be from Vermont, and let's have an emerging maple syrup conglomerate.
With Dusty Hera.
Stupid, we don't know anything about maple syrup.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I happen to know everything there is to know about maple syrup. I love maple syrup. I love maple syrup on pancakes. I love it on pizza. I like to take maple syrup and put a little bit in my hair when I've had a rough week. What do you think holds it up, slick?
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I'd like to be pimps from Oakland or cowboys from Arizona, but it's not Halloween. Grow up, Peter Pan.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you on this Thursday morning. Oh, found out yesterday that Kevin Clabro would be stepping down as play-by-play man of the Portland Trail Blazers. And Clabs is such a great dude. And he, from day one, man, he was so nice, so gracious and welcoming to Portland, and Portland was welcoming to him. Although his run here in Portland was short, it was a great run, and it was really good to meet him and get to know him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Clabro. So he is stepping away. Jordan Kent will be the play-by-play man for the Portland Trailblazers.
For Jordan.
He's another great guy, local guy. And you talk about, is there going to be another play-by-play man in the, like, we're talking not color analyst, play-by-play, that played Division I basketball? I wonder if any other play-by-play man has done that.
Excellent question.
Because that is pretty rare, because Kent obviously played for the Ducks, that you would find that.
So let me get this straight. If he would be the only one, you're right. That is pretty rare.
Well, yeah, but duh. But I'm guessing historically, it's pretty rare to have a play-by-play guy that played Division I basketball.
It's really unique. There's only a couple. I think there are two in baseball who were play-by-play guys that actually played. Like the Giants, Dwayne Kuiper played second base. He's their play-by-play guy, not their color guy.
Not very often.
Right, yeah.
Not very often.
In all of pro sports. I mean, remember, Fouts had his run as doing a little bit of play-by-play after Keith Jackson retired, but now he's sliding back into the number two role.
It's like they're saying they don't want the play by play guy to be the smart guy. Or wait a minute, no, that's wrong. Let's backpedal. It's like, wait a minute, the athlete can't be the play by play guy?
You can do that.
Why not? Well, I mean, just switch it up. Dave Pash, you slide over a chair. Bill, go get it.
I don't know if anybody wants that one. Volcanoes.
Said nobody.
All right, the bubble is in trouble.
There's
at Disney.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
The MLS is getting ready to get their season going with the tourney. I think they start up July 11th is when their tournament starts. But their teams are in Orlando at Disney World getting ready for their tournament. And upon arriving, FC Dallas, they did all the testing before. They hopped on the plane. They got over. And apparently, upon arrival, two players of the FC Dallas team, they tested positive upon arrival, and then four additional players. And I heard SVP last night say a coach also tested positive over the last 2 days since arriving in the bubble in Orlando.
I saw that number up to 9 this morning for FC Dallas's traveling party.
There you go.
Right. 9?
Yeah.
9 times.
9 times. Mm-hmm. 9. But that is a brutal
9
start.
9 times.
What goes along, it goes into the same mindset of this bubble mindset is, I'm just going to say it's going to epic fail, but it's going to control it the best you can, the best situation, but it's not going to stop it. It's not going to stop, but it's certainly going to give you a better option than if it was out and about. It's better. It is better. There's no fail-safe proof that's anything unless there's no way to stop any of this. Obviously, we're at that point. Isn't it pretty obvious, all of us? Isn't it at this point?
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna get the virus.
And this is not good news as the NBA heads over there on July 7th. Damian Lillard was doing his 2K interviews as he's now the cover man, and he was asked about, you know, the issues that are arising in the bubble with the MLS.
But I think with the NBA, you know, when we get there, it's a immediate test and then go to our room. So basically, like the first 36 hours, of us being there is in isolation. And when we do come out, it's just to be tested and go back. So we got to have a few negative tests before I guess we're free to move around. And it's still like restrictions on, you know, what we can do as far as, you know, the contact that we come in with other people. But that is scary, the fact that they was testing negative, and as soon as they get there, all of a sudden, like, they're testing positive. So, you know, we'll see, man. I think if that becomes a problem, I could see it being, you know, called off.
That part at the end, mm-hmm. I mean, if mm-hmm. it becomes a problem, Dame could see it being called off. The bubble is not going to be foolproof.
Oh, they know it. No, of course it's not. No one ever thought that the bubble was going to be foolproof. This isn't about the bubble, guys. This is about what's best for Disney and their revenue and how they can get this in as fast as possible to try to make and salvage a season to make their revenue. If it was always about safety and as best they can, they understand that they would have to adapt and change. But I told you this 3 weeks ago. I said, there's no way that these players and all of this is going to go off like all hunky-dory. It all started off, oh, it's great. It'll be okay. They're locked down. No, players are going to be like, no, players are leaving. They're even Dame sticking out. He's like, man, really? Dame, you asked for this. You wanted to be there. He did. He wanted to be there. He made his point. Hey, give us a shot. Now that the shot is there, it's like, whoa. This is not optimal. Well, of course it's not optimal.
But Lillard also said what, you know, we've been saying for a long time, and a player finally came out and said it.
Yep. My confidence ain't great. My confidence ain't great because you telling me you're going to have, you know, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules. Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, you know, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position. You know what I'm saying?
Not everybody's going to follow the rules.
Is that not human nature? Is that not everybody right now?
The NBA knows it.
The NBA and the NBA players are going to act like the rest of the population. Do you wear a mask? I didn't wear a mask. I was in Home Depot yesterday. I saw 15 people not wearing a mask. Did I publicly shame them? No. People are going to follow rules. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. How do you tell a guy that's worth $300 million that, you know what? What are you going to do? Scorn them? What? I don't have that answer. Okay, you want to protest? You don't. You want to go down to go out to dinner? You don't. These professional athletes are just the same. So if you want to take the same percentage of ones that follow the rules and the others that don't, it's not rocket science here to figure it out. Some of these guys are going to have to bring some girls in. They're going to want to go out and relax. They're not going to want to sit in their room for 3 months. I said that. Good luck going on a vacation for 2 weeks in a hotel room. Try telling a professional athlete like that to lock it down for potentially 2.5 months.
And you hope that
not going to happen.
You hope that the leadership on the team is going to be holding guys accountable, you know, and that's kind of what you have to go through is, like, as you were saying, just like in the general public, like, we're kind of relying and counting on each other to do the things that will mitigate the spread of it. And that's what, you know, each individual team, each in all 22 that are going, they're going to have to try and take control of, hey guys, you know, for some of them, mm-hmm. They're not even going to be there for a month, right? Because you play 8 regular season games and boom, you go from 22 down to 16. Another, week and a half later, they're going to go from 16 down to 8 teams, you know? And it is the concern, though, is those guys, and when do they start getting restless and go,
the day
I
they
can't
get there.
Do it anymore. And will be some that are just like that, mm-hmm. that are 100% like that.
And that's okay too. So that's totally normal. It's totally normal. If you want to feel restless and restricted, and when someone starts telling you what to do to follow rules and you feel, and remember what's the word there that they're using? Bubble and quarantine. Just those two words tell you, you feel, I mean, obviously make
restrictive
you restricted
words.
And don't you feel, it makes you, okay, it's uncomfortable. So and then to ask them to perform at a high level to entertain you, these are all things that are going to make this be an epic fail.
Oh, really? You think it's going to be a failure?
Dude, I said that like 2 weeks ago when they first announced it. I said it's going to be an epic fail.
Whether or not
you think it's positive or that's not what we're trying to say. It's not going to go off well. It'll be sports. It'll be better. Here's what I'm saying. It'll be better than nothing. But it's not going to go off well. There's going to be guys that violate the rules, go out. They're going to party. They're going to have people are getting to get snuck in. There's going to be major injuries, okay, because guys aren't physically ready. There's going to be bad press, good press. There's going to be stuff that goes on that takes a political spin and all those things. There'll be positives and negatives. But overall, what they're trying to do there, they're just trying to get their revenue. And I understand it, and it's okay. But so, whether it be great or not, it's not going to be great.
You're talking the product, because I think when you said epic fail, I think that you're going down the lines of
I'm staying in my lane. I'm trying to stay in the sports entertainment. Is the game going to be? It's not going to be great basketball.
Okay, the product on the floor. I agree with you on that. The product on the floor won't be playoff basketball that we know.
That's what I'm trying to be very, very clear and specific on this, is that players have said it too.
Yep.
I've heard multiple players interviewed across all the social media platforms and on some of the podcasts, and they said, just get ready for bad basketball.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be.
That is what it's going to be. And I don't think, like, as far as terms of epic fail, they close it down, shut it down, like what Dame said at the end of that first clip that we played, you know. But if you sit there, I don't think of it an epic fail in that regard, but the level of play and what we're accustomed to seeing in playoff basketball, no, it won't be. And you know what? The start of Major League Baseball, it's going to be the same. It's going to be rough, and it's going to be a 60-game sprint in baseball.
Although
the start of the NFL without the offseason,
yeah,
it'll probably be a rough start for them too.
Well, baseball is going to have a better advantage, because I've been watching a little bit of the highlights of the Korean Baseball League.
Yeah,
They've adapted so well. I just saw Matt. Oh my gosh, he's the manager of. Matt Williams.
Matt Williams.
Matt Williams,
former third baseman.
They had an awesome walk-off yesterday. Walk-off double off the in the bottom of the bottom. It was awesome. And the guys celebrated. They all ran out, dumped water on each other. It was fantastic. And they had a couple cheerleaders, but there wasn't fans in the stands. But baseball have more of an advantage, because it's already a game built where you don't need that kind of energy all the time. It's night. Don't be wrong. Baseball players do that. Basketball needs the fans more than any sport out there.
Tell you what, the Rays, they're having a big advantage. They've got a good team, and they're used to not playing in front of fans.
Right. Already ahead of the game.
Huge advantage there. It's not going to be weird for them.
What is it about the Florida baseball? Why have baseball there, Florida?
Because they play baseball indoors in Florida.
I know. Your attendance is dreadful. Nobody cares about baseball in Florida professionally. Proved it. Move them to places that care.
You know where they do care about the sport all across the country? Football. Football, football, football. Let's talk some college football. Is exposure the problem for the Pac-12? Our friend seems to think so. Next on The Fan. All right, as college football workouts are continuing for most schools around the country, including here in Oregon, the college football pundits are back to business as usual, talking about the issues plaguing each conference, each team, and guys and gals that I guess they're excited to see coming up this fall in the sports calendar. And that's no different at Fox, where our friend Joel Klatt in the what is their pregame show called? Their Big Noon Kickoff Show. They were doing
the big noon.
Big Noon.
It's big.
What is it? Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Joel Klatt, mm-hmm. Urban Meyer.
That's a pretty good lineup, man.
Hell yeah, it is. Two Heisman Trophy winners. You know, Joel Klatt, he holds multiple University of Colorado passing records.
Yeah.
Still. And then you got Urban Meyer.
You act surprised by that.
Well, I do. Because, I mean, he's not Matt Leinart. And people are always like, oh, Matt Leinart.
It's a Division I program.
It's the Big 12. Back when he played in it. Mm. But but his starts, like Joel Klatt held, I think I heard Colin say 60 school records at Colorado when he finished up there.
Well, he's the boss of that group, though, when it comes down to it.
Oh, he's our college football commissioner.
Yeah, no, he is the dude.
But I didn't know like Joel was as prolific as he was at Colorado. Oh. Because he wasn't like a guy that got in the NFL. He wasn't a high round draft pick or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
But he was a hell of a college football player.
Yeah.
And Klatt was talking about his Buffs in the conference they reside in now, the Pac-12. And the Big Noon Kickoff Show, they did their conference rankings. And it should be no surprise, the Pac-12 comes in dead last.
No. That should be a surprise, Mr. Hara.
Is it?
Yeah, that is a surprise.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're damn right that is.
Here's how it goes. Number one is SEC. Duh. Number two, the Big Ten. Number three, the Big 12. Number four, the ACC. And number five, the Pac-12. Why is it a surprise to you?
Why?
Mm-hmm. That the Pac-12 is fifth.
I don't have an answer for you. I'm just telling you, I'm surprised.
Oh. See, I'm not surprised by that because if you look at it...
I take the stance of whether or not I accept it or not. I don't like the fact that it's accepting that I'm not surprised. I am surprised. I'm agitated.
Yeah, and that agitated should be it. And that's what Pac-12 fans should be.
No, they're not. But the Pac-12s are not.
The ACC, I think top to bottom, is not a better conference.
There's no question that the Pac-12 is equal to the ACC.
I think the Pac-12 overall is a better conference than the ACC, but here's the thing.
Yeah, they don't
the ACC has got Clemson, and they win the big games on the big stage and have won national titles. Right. And I think that's what kind of pushes them over the edge. Yep. The one, if you're going to sit there and you're going to have a criticism, wouldn't it be of the Big 12 being number three?
The Big 12 is equal to what? Perception. This is perception. This is a perception. That's all it is. This is a stand-up beauty pageant. Okay, we're at the beauty pageant right now, and you're standing up in front of everybody, and everybody's commissioner standing up in front, and they're all saying, "Look at us! Look at us! Look at us!" And the Big 12 just looks better with Oklahoma.
Do they?
Whatever they did. If it was the interview, they might not have stuttered on the interview. Maybe the swimsuit edition, or whatever maybe they put on the really good suit. And they looked clean, and they were they just look better.
The Big 12 has one team that has made the college football playoff. Oklahoma.
By the way, only 10 teams in this conference.
Yes,
hence the Big 12 name.
That's just right.
Has 12.
The Big 10 has got 14 teams.
Yes, they do.
But Oklahoma's 0-4. Yeah. 0-4 in the playoff.
0-4.
Oregon has a playoff win.
Yeah.
When they beat undefeated Florida State.
Yeah.
Okay, but the perception of the Big 12 is that it is a better conference, and I that is one that I really don't.
I don't like it either.
Quite get.
I don't like it
because when is enough enough? They are the only conference to not have a win in the college football playoff era, and they've gotten four opportunities. The Pac-12 has three opportunities and one win. You know, Washington 0-1, Oregon is 1-1, obviously losing the national championship to Ohio State. Like the Big 12 to me is a head scratcher because they are 0-4 in the playoff era. The ACC with Clemson, that is a dreadful conference on the back end of it, but they do have Clemson. So it isn't a surprise that they are fourth overall. The Big 12 at three is a surprise, but the Pac-12 at fifth, they've got bigger issues. And you said it earlier, perception. And that is where Joel Klatt made his point.
You know, I get in trouble sometimes because if there's a spade out there, I'm going to call a spade, right? You know why no one wants to play in the Pac-12? You don't get exposure.
Yep.
Okay. Their windows that they've negotiated with their television partners are just really poor. Namely, the fact that they tried to go do this conference network on their own and nobody gets it. Nobody watches it, right? So all this content that they say they have is not really content if you're an 18-year-old kid because no one's watching it. It doesn't help you in any way. And then what they did is within the negotiation with the major networks, they wanted to have a standalone East Coast primetime game that didn't compete with another Pac-12 game. So they wanted to only have one team or one game playing at that time, which then moved one, sometimes two extra games into the late night, which is West Coast prime time, kicking off at 7 p.m. West Coast. Well, guess what that is? 10 p.m. on the East Coast. So all of a sudden, Pac-12 After Dark was invented, and while everyone tweets about it and loves it, nobody actually watches it. When you look at the most watched college football programs in the country, it is all Big Ten and then some SEC sprinkled in there. So their exposure is not very good because their media rights deals have been an absolute failure since they were negotiated a few years ago.
That's something that we've all known and we talk about.
Oh, Dusty, I don't think so.
What?
We've known, but we accepted it. We accepted it because we were told by the leadership of the conference, Knowing it and accepting it are two things. Knowing it and being unequivocally upset by it and be willing to take pitchforks and torches at this point. That's how devastating it is. Now, stay in the mindset of college football. That's where I'm trying to stay here. I'm trying to stay in this mindset of college football compared to five conferences in Power Five. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to deviate off this path right now. I'm going to try to stay in this lane as best we can because we're a sports show. The reason why this conference has failed so much is because of one thing and one thing only, the leadership of this conference. Unequivocally, no question, it is your responsibility as Pac-12 leaders from the start is to showcase your talent and showcase your number one product. Those of you that lead, try to make equality in this Pac-12 mindset of that everybody's important. Let's create 18 different channels. Let's make sure that water polo is on television. Let's make sure that there is track and field. And these are all great. We know track and field's a mecca. The beautiful new facility at Oregon is unbelievable, by the way. Why wouldn't you want to run track anywhere else? Sorry, I deviated there. Anyway, you have tried to sell equality when it comes to football. Well, that's not reality. Because the reality is that there are some great athletes out here, but they're leaving in droves because you don't make them feel valuable for what their product is. And if that is going to be true, if you want to sell the equality of college football out here on the package, it's like, you know what, you're just as equal to softball and stuff like that. Financially, that's just not realistic. Okay, that's not realistic. And so if because you've chose that path, on that path, the players have left, the coaches have left, television is down, networks have sold your product as a fifth to sixth ranked product. So you're not even in the middle view at Safeway. Okay, you don't even get the good aisle. You know where you're at? Okay, you're in the bottom barrel walk-in position, and you're at the first line when you walk into Target selling at 99 cents. That's what you've sold us, Larry Scott, and the rest of the conference. It is 100% on you and what you've sold and what you've told everybody. Because nobody else outside of where we are in the Pac-12 is selling a cheap knockoff. And that's what you've done to the football. You've sold it as a cheap knockoff. And so I've accepted it. I can't change it. I can't do anything. I could tell you why. And Joel's saying it. Urban Meyer's saying it. Reggie Bush. You know what Reggie Bush said? Pac-12, you guys are idiots. You keep scheduling Ohio State. He went right after Oregon and said, you know what, Oregon, what are you doing? Why are you scheduling Ohio State? That's Reggie, but Matt Leiner, all those guys. Why are you scheduling so hard? Watch what everyone else is doing. So what else do you want us to say as fans of Pac-12 football? Pac-12. All right.
I think a problem with the Reggie Bush thing, though, and Leiner and Urban, when they criticize the scheduling, isn't it you're scheduling so far out in advance? And isn't that what college football said was important, was scheduling tough? And the other power brokers in college football are scheduling those games. You know, Ohio State is also scheduling that game. And so Michigan is scheduling.
Do you want to know Ohio State?
And SC is scheduling Alabama. What?
You want to know why Ohio State is scheduling those games?
Because they think they can win them?
Absolutely.
Right. But
Oregon and Washington and USC are now scheduling those games because they need notoriety. Because do you believe that all three are going to win that game? I guarantee you the Big Ten is walking out here and driving in their cars or get on their flights or whatever they're doing. And all of them know they can win the game. All of them know. All of them know they're going to just slap the Pac-12 upside the head. The Pac-12 is all we're like, one out of three.
But a decade.
Can we get one win out of the three? I don't know. All those guys are stomping in going, we're going to get all three. And we're going to massacre your conference.
But 8 years ago when the game was scheduled, right, we were looking at it going, hey, this is the future of college football. To get into the playoff, you need to have that schedule. It obviously hasn't played out that way because if you are a one-loss team, you're still getting in, and we know that. But Ohio State's future opponents include Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Do you think they scheduled those because they thought they could slap them around, or because everybody's been told you have to schedule the big boys if you want a seat at the table?
You have been told, but you also have to play the game, and the Pac-12 isn't playing the game. You know what other game you can? One loss in the Pac-12 is not the same as one loss in the SEC, the ACC, and the Big Ten.
Death nail.
It is not the same.
Yeah.
So if you want to play the game of, all right, guys, let's try to figure this game out. Okay, we need to be undefeated. Or if we do lose, let's lose a game late somewhere, maybe. I don't know. Let's try to be smarter than the room. But you're not smarter than the room. Okay, you're Coke trying to make new Coke. Your football programs, like USC, like Oregon, and like the high-end brands, okay, your regular Coke, and make it really good and oversell it. Sell it to you already had a nice mix. Sell it. Don't create new Coke by trying to create this Pac-12 Active Dark stuff. And then now you're just like, all right, fine. Make 17 different Cokes. Make cherry Coke. Make vanilla flavored Coke. And you know what? It's all equal. We're going to sell it all equal and make a bunch of... No, you're not. Stick with what works.
Is it trending upwards? 503-250-1080. And the way out of where the Pac-12 is. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 737. Dusty here at Camp Cleveland with you. We are talking Pac-12, the big noon kickoff show on Fox. They have the Pac-12 ranked fifth of the Power 5 conferences. And then Joel Klatt says, look, the TV deal is a big one for the Pac-12 and what has let them down. We know that. We have been very critical of Larry Scott, too. You and I agree wholeheartedly that a change at the top is in order here for the Pac-12.
When you want to talk about epic fails, it's an epic fail. It's
big.
A catastrophic fail of losses and financial windfall that has been couldn't be even more embarrassing for a conference at the leadership level. It's extremely embarrassing from the amount of money that somebody makes to the choices they've made to how they've tried to sell the product. It needs a regime change, and sometimes you got to hit bottom to get a start over. And I think that there'll be a lot of smart chancellors, and hopefully there'll be a re-injection and a vigor for some out there that say, you know, well, we're tired of being last here. Let's try to do something different.
And there is a change of leadership coming in at the very top, because we talk about this all the time with, you know, whether it's Roger Goodell or Rob Manfred or Adam Silver, commissioners of leagues professionally, and their bosses are the owners. Well, Larry Scott's bosses are the presidents and chancellors. And the biggest difference here is that there is such a large disconnect from sports to the presidents and chancellors of universities than there are to team owners in professional sports. And Larry Scott is not the only person that should be culpable here, because that change of leadership at the Pac-12 level it's in the hands of the 12 presidents and chancellors of the Pac-12. And probably the biggest thing that we've seen is there's been a big shift of leadership from the presidents and chancellors. I mean, I think there's only one remaining president from the crew that hired Larry Scott, and Ed Reyes going out, and King just he's going to take over as the president of Oregon State, comes from LSU. There's been an influx of presidents and chancellors that do care about sports a heck of a lot more. And that should be an encouraging sign for the Pac-12, but it's not going to be encouraging fully until something happens and they say, all right, enough is enough here, because college football is your front porch. It's what everybody looks at and says that success of a conference is your football programs. And the Pac-12 is just so far behind. Is there a way out though for the Pac-12 in that you have, after a couple of bad years, Washington appears to be, they've made a college football playoff, upward trajectory. Now Chris Peterson is gone and Jimmy Lake's a head coach. Can they sustain what they were doing? But Oregon had a couple of down years. They win a Rose Bowl. Are they going to be back to being good? And USC is another one. But USC hasn't done much of anything except for their recruiting a little bit better than they were before.
Yeah.
You need your big programs to win, and that is the big thing.
Yeah, we beat that thing like there's no tomorrow. Those two things right now are there.
As we have the TV deal.
Yeah.
You know, and how horrible it is for the conference to have, you know, your marquee games on a Pac-12 network that a lot of the fans of those teams don't have. And
The only way this changes, it doesn't change with Oregon being better. It doesn't change with Washington being better. And it certainly doesn't change with USC being better. I'm sorry, it doesn't. What the future of college football is the eradication of the Pac-12 and the joining of together with a better product with the Big 12. Your best brands have to get out of this umbrella that's holding them down. And that's all that will change because the other conferences don't need the Pac-12. They don't. Okay, the Pac-12 needs other brands to uplift them. It's not good enough for USC to be good enough. Well, it's not. There's not enough talent out here. Okay, Oregon, it's not good enough to be able to say to do that right now as we sit because the talent is leaving. So to do that, you got to get more excitement and notoriety and get more talent. How do you get more talent? You got to win. How do you get more winning? Get more eyeballs and get more people excited too. But you got to have intelligent leaders that are all about football only. And not to the point to where it's obsessive, but that's what other conferences do. They obsess, they overpay, they do everything they can to win. In this landscape of football, you want to be great at the other stuff. I'm totally good with that. But all we're trying to do is say this conference has already failed. And so we know it's already failed. It's failed for the last decade, and it's going to continue to fail if it goes along the same landscape with the leadership that's in place.
And that is the talent aspect of it. The encouraging signs is that we have Oregon and USC both in the top 10 recruiting right now for the class of 2021. Oregon has done a good job of keeping kids on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. You have an influx of talent in the Seattle area that, I mean, we're going on three years now where you've had some marquee players and you got to keep those guys in. You can't have guys like G. Scott go over to Ohio State like he did, right? You know, that's a big one. Yeah, yeah. It's too late. He's gone. You know, he's the class of 2020 kid. He's got, you got to put the borders up. And there's a few guys that are still open. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago in that, you know, the Pac-12 has a chance to land four of the top six, the blue chip recruits that are on the West Coast. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened in a long time that you're getting four of six. Mm-hmm. But they have a good chance to do that this year. And so those things could be signs of positivity. The next thing you have to do is win the marquee games.
Yeah.
You have to win.
No, you got to win some big games, certainly. That goes without saying. I think that's very true. We know this, and we'll continue to talk this up. I can't wait for the opening weekend and really, and that's what I'm saying. I got fingers crossed that the Pac-12 has – that's the other – that's the kind of the disappointing side of it. Is you know you're a beat down sports fan when you go, I hope they have a good showing. That was my first thought when I said that. I was like, oh, come on. This is where I'm at, really? That's not fair to even say, but 99% of Pac-12 fans are like, I hope they have a good showing. I hope they're going to get blown out like last time Alabama played USC. Do we all remember what happened? It was a massacre.
Yep.
It was a bloodletting. They just kind of left the trail of Troy. And it's like they just went.
Well, if Vegas is any indication, they think USC Bama is supposed to be one this year, too. 15.5-point dogs. USC should never be 15.5-point dogs.
No, it shouldn't. And last year was so close. It was fractionally close the way Oregon was. You're going to have a Washington and Michigan game. That's going to mean something. No matter what anybody looks at it, that's going to mean something. It's not as big as the other two, but it's still a quality game. And of course, don't skip over the fact that Oregon plays a smaller school that's going to be a tough out also.
North Dakota State, baby.
Yeah. So these are all things that we got to keep really the hammer down on it.
503-250-1080. Some of your feedback on this coming up next as the Pac-12. We got some pretty thoughtful texts on where the Pac-12 is right now. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. That is a fan text line. Joel Klatt, we played audio of Klatt, saying TV deal exposure is a big issue for the Pac-12. He had it on the Big Noon kickoff show's roundtable that they had on Fox Sports, along with Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. And look, we agree with that. That's a problem with keeping talent on the West Coast. And the Big Noon kickoff show had Pac-12 as the fifth best conference of the Power Five. There's a lot of issues, and it's not just one thing in particular that has put the Pac-12 in this place. We want to hear from you though. 503-250-1080. This text says, I have a buddy who's a lifelong Ducks fan. He got transferred to the East Coast about 8 years ago. We shouldn't start games after 4:30 Pacific time. If we want nationwide exposure, games go too late for most of the country to watch. Like 4:30 is you can do, 4:30 because that is when a lot of, you know, the marquee games in the SEC and ACC mm-hmm. are night games. It's the 7 o'clock ones that are brutal for the Pac-12.
7 o'clock? What about the 8 o'clock?
Right, right. Or Thursday night at 7.
Horrible. Friday nights. Horrible. Yeah. Friday nights are for high school football.
Sure. But would it behoove the, and Deal had a text in earlier that says, you know, a TV show says the TV deal is the problem with the Pac-12. That's like saying a girl married the wrong guy. The Pac-12 has more than just one issue. And, you know.
So wait a minute. Say that one more time.
The Big Noon Kickoff is a TV show. Correct. Is saying that the Pac-12 has a bad TV deal, which part of their deal is with Fox for their games. And FS1 is one of the beneficiaries of having 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock games, right? Remember the NASCAR truck race?
Yeah.
That got bumped back, the UW game? That was an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Guys, if I have a television show or a radio show and my ratings are bad, guess what people do? They don't listen. They don't listen, or which is totally their prerogative, but depends on how you look at it. Or you have any show that you produce or anything that's called entertainment or media sources, television show that doesn't have viewers means that you don't put it in a primetime spot. So that's the nation saying, we don't think you have a very good product. You listen to television. You listen to TV executives. You listen to sports analysts on those things because they will actually tell you the truth of what's going on. If you want to duck your head in the sand and say, well, the Big Ten doesn't, or Fox doesn't have the Pac-12, so they're not going to promote it as much. Duh, because it's not as good. I mean, so be better. And be more valuable.
In the next TV deal.
Change your hair, for God's sakes. Get a haircut.
In the next TV deal, should the Pac-12 fight for having a window of time from, say, 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. is our window of kickoffs? Does that help the Pac-12? Just that alone.
Of course it does.
That would put you at, what, a 6.5-hour window to get your games in?
Yeah.
And if you look at the rest of the country who has East Coast, they go from, what, 9 until 5:30.
Yeah.
They've got a, you know, 8.5-hour window that they work with over there. So, well, that's a problem with being out on the West Coast.
And I actually don't mind. This is an outside-the-box thought, but this is where I think the Pac-12 is at, is that, okay, you're going to need some television product between ESPN and Fox, and we know CBS is getting out of the SEC game, so... Hey, CBS, what do you think about partnering with us? We'll give mm-hmm. you a cheap deal. Cheap deal, but give us a prime time spot for that. Cheap deal. I know you're leaving the SEC. ESPN's jumping on you. We would love to have you out here. I know you're not the super marquee group. We don't, you know, you don't have College Game Day and all the other things like Fox has, but we'd sure love you to come out here. And oh, by the way, you know what? YouTube. Would you like something? Hey, Netflix. How about Amazon Prime? Would you guys... What do you think about us? We'll sell you cheap right now, but watch how this negotiates and have incentive-based business. You know, smart business does mean that you're willing to think outside the box, but you have to buy low, and then eventually when your product grows back up. Right now, the Pac-12 is just, their stock is so low, so they can negotiate something really nice. Why not go to CBS and say, hey, let's do something? Why not go to these streaming services and think outside the box now and have a primetime YouTube start time? I know it doesn't sound sexy right now, but an Amazon Prime or a Netflix show, or get that Prime kickoff in the streaming world of where we're probably going, I can't tell you that it's a bad idea because it hasn't been proven, but why not be willing to go outside the box? Because what you're doing now is not working.
And this is one of the issues that the Pac-12 has, and I think that they, in their next TV deal, I don't know if you can sit there and tell the broadcast partners, like, we're done with 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock kickoffs or whatever, but they need to say, we have final say on what games are going to be in that late window. Because like last year's a good example of this, Oregon, Washington State, right? In 2018, that was a hell of a game up on the Palouse. And it was a primetime game and it got eyeballs. College Game Day was in Pullman. It was sweet. Mm. Last year, that game was a 7:30 kickoff. And it was a tight game. And Oregon won by 2 points.
Everybody was asleep. Majority of the country was asleep.
You're 100% right.
It was gone. They didn't even see it.
And that is where the Pac-12 could say, okay, fine. Hey, if you're gonna have us in that 7 or 7:30 window, okay, but we're going to put, you know, Oregon State, Eastern Washington on it or whatever that game is. Or if you have two teams like Arizona and Oregon State who weren't great in the Pac-12 last year, we're going to put that game on there so you can have your content. But we cannot afford to put our better games in that window. That is huge for the Pac-12 and their exposure problem. I mean, and I think the Pac-12 is getting it a little bit because if you look at it, remember there used to be at the beginning of the Pac-12 network, they used to have big time games on the Pac-12 network. And it was just not working. Last year, USC, UW, and Oregon combined to play six total games on the Pac-12 network. Six. That's it. And they were the likes of Oregon, Nevada, Oregon, Montana. I think it was UW. One of their games was against Eastern Washington. You know, those are the games that should be on the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
The other one should be on Fox, ESPN, ABC.
All conference games should be on big time. All the conference games should not be on the Pac-12. I mean, that's just kind of how I look at it. And those and the bigger ones should be on the big flash network.
You're right. And but they last year, if you look at it, of 36 games in the regular season between SC, UW, and UVO, their three marquee programs last year, they were all like only six of those 36 were on the Pac-12 network. And that's a good start.
Yeah.
This text, is it unfair to pin Larry Scott's success just on football? It seems his goal is for the Pac-12 to be successful in all sports. One could argue the conference has become more successful in sports outside of just football.
I can appreciate that text in a sense of as when I say equality in sports of the Pac-12, because that's the lie that really Larry Scott's trying to sell you is that, hey, we're for all of you, which I appreciate that mindset. But the unfortunate side of it is that financially and how the growth of this conference brings more scholarships for women's sports, more scholarships for the smaller sports or hockey coming in and all these other things. Like you want lacrosse to start being funded and all those sold by universities. You need football and men's basketball to produce revenue. Mm-hmm. If you don't get that, you don't get the other. So while you can say, okay, Larry Scott, you've done a good job with there, but you're not going to get the recognition for that because your Coke, and I use the Coke example, your classic Coke sucks and it's not selling. So you can't, you said you just can't use that right now. It sounds good to say everybody seems equal, but unfortunately in this sports landscape, football has to be number one. It has to take 90% of your attention right now. And if you don't want to do that, then you get the fifth best conference, according to everybody.
And the fourth best conference is the other one that is, you know, spreading it more evenly, the ACC.
Yeah.
Right? Where they care a lot about more about basketball, to be honest, than they do about football, and they are fourth.
I don't know if I believe that.
ACC, Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina, Louisville.
I don't know if I don't know if I believe that. I believe that they love basketball. They definitely have some success at basketball when you have national championships like Virginia, certainly like and Duke and you get those. I still find it hard to believe that if Mack Brown wins a national championship at North Carolina, he wouldn't be just as embraced as basketball. I mean,
I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, for any Pac-12 conference, too.
No. You kidding me? You mean if you win a national championship at Oregon, you know what everybody's saying in basketball? You know what everybody's saying? Well, what the heck's wrong with football right now? Exactly what would happen.
Wait, if you won one in basketball?
It would not carry the same amount of weight if you won a national championship in basketball as it would in football.
Oh, but you said Mack Brown, if he wins a national title, I think at football, they were wanting to build a statue of Chip Kelly because he won a Rose Bowl.
Exactly.
Mike Riley got a lifetime contract because he won, lifetime contract after just getting back to
relevancy. Dude, that was a decade ago.
Two decades ago.
Yeah, so we're at a different time now.
But that's what I'm talking about is that, like, if you win one in football, no matter where you're at, you're going to be a legend.
Yeah, that's why I say is that, okay, basketball's a big deal in the ACC. That's not what we're talking about. We're staying, football is a big-time priority.
Yes.
For those conference. And it's a big priority in the ACC.
It should be.
Big. Just ask Florida State if they think basketball's a good thing going on right there.
Well, they were conference champs last year.
And did they care?
ACC, conference champs.
Yeah.
Well, they did because tournament got canceled.
I know, but it's football, man.
All right. More feedback as the show goes on. But we've got rapid fire to get to next. NFL rapid fire on the Fan.